Let's have a word of prayer as we begin this morning. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be used in your hands. And as you use me this morning, I invite you to share your love through me, because that's what I intend to do. I don't know how effective I can be, but I certainly want to share your love, because that is so great and have extended so far, and we cannot even begin to imagine. So bless us this morning, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday morning, I decided I would go out and pull some weeds. You know, with all the rain we have, weed seems to grow better than anything else. Have you noticed that? You just go up and you pamper the grass, you pamper everything else, and it just stays where it's at. As I came out, I saw a couple of mourning doves, and as I looked at them a little closer, I saw a little baby, and they were trying to feed the baby, and it was on the corner of our driveway and the road, and I thought, that's a peculiar place to care for your young child. But that's where they were at. I think what happened, the baby fell out of the nest and couldn't fly and couldn't, they can't carry for the baby. And so I kind of watched it as the day progressed and kind of thought, it's amazing that that little baby is still there, because the parents would fly off to get food and come back and feed the baby. And so when it became evening, I thought, this is not going to go on through the night. This little baby is going to be gone most likely in the morning. So I said a little prayer. And I said, God, I know you can do anything, but this is almost impossible. But keep this little baby. So this morning I thought, well, it's probably not worth going out for, but I'm going to go out and see if the baby is there. And I did, and down in the grass, just scooted down among the leaves there in the grass, the baby was there. And we have dogs, we have cats, we have squirrels, we have possums, we have who knows what going around at night. But the baby was there. Isn't that amazing? I don't know how long it will be there. Hopefully it will be there long enough so it can fly away. But I don't know. So that's a little story. I don't know how many of you are following the study guide that were given out to us in the beginning of the year. It's quite a bit of reading every day, and it is a lot of information. We were finishing up in the Revelation, and then we started in Genesis. And in Genesis, we of course know the story, but as you read it again, you learn something. And of course, I knew it before. But as God created Adam and Eve, they didn't pay close attention to God, and they fell into sin. And we know the story. And sadly to say that the first child that was born on earth became a murderer. He killed his brother. And we know that that was devastating, I'm sure, to the parents. Of course, it was devastating to God, and he came and confronted Cain and asked him where his brother was, and he said, well, he's around. Why should I care where he is? Of course, he knew that that was not the right answer, but that's what took place. Now as we go on with the story in Genesis 5, we learn that, I think it's a great-great-grandchild of Adam, Enoch. It says in verse 22, and Enoch walked with God, and he begat Methuselah 100 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. What did God do with him? What does it mean God took him? God took him to heaven. It was just, he didn't need to see death. God took him. And that was what God had in mind with probably all of us. If we were walking with God, we could all be walking to heaven. But as we look at the just a few verses over in chapter 6, and it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men and were fair and took them wives, and all were which they choose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also his flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants on the earth in those days, and after all the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty, which were of old men and renowned. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and the very imagination and the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. Not a good thing. Men were evil and they had evil thoughts. And in verse 8 it says, but Noah, the generation of Noah, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. So here was another one that were walking with God, and God thought he would destroy the earth. And he came to Noah and he told him, build me a boat. And nobody had seen rain, nobody had seen water in great mass, and here he's instructed to build a boat. And he worked on it for 120 years. And as he worked on the ark, he preached the gospel, and he preached to people to accept to come into the ark and be saved. Now you would think if you preached for 120 years that you would have quite a few people following you. How many followed him into the boat? 8 people. Not a huge number. 8 people followed him. And the Lord said in chapter 7, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thine house into the ark, for they have seen the righteous before me in this generation. And then he took all the animals and a lot of things with them that they could survive in the ship. And of course, we know the story down with the Israelites and how they came close to God and they drifted away and they were not following God. And there were men that followed God, there were men that loved God, and they were blessed. They were not that many. Then in Luke 23, we read, it's way over here, yeah. In verse 34, this is talking about Christ. Now, Christ and his life is many, many sermons. I'm just going to touch on it lightly because it's such a ministry, it's such an outreach program that has never been matched and never will be matched. But as he was dying on the cross, he was able to say, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prayed not only for the people that crucified him, he prayed not only for the people that were around him, he prayed not only for the people that ridiculed him, but he prayed forgiveness for you and me. Can you imagine? He prayed for forgiveness for you and me. What a prayer. What a outreach. 2,000 years down the road that we are alive and God have already prayed for us. What a testimony. What a thing that he have done. That is God's love. What he was seeing when he was crucified, I don't know. But it's very possible he was looking into your face and my face. And he could see us saved one day. And that made it all worldwide. In 2 Peter 3:9, we read there, Second Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God gave his life for every human being. There have been born, there is alive, there will be born before this earth is destroyed. He paid the price. We are all able to have eternal life. He wants us to have eternal life. He wants to accept his grace. He wants us to be willing and able and eager to go to the kingdom. Are we ready for that? Are we longing to see him face to face? Can you imagine just sit at the feet of Christ and he will tell us what he did for us, how he protected us, how he saved us? And there are things that we don't even know that he was able to do for us while we were alive here on earth. What a reunion that will be. What a promise that we have. In Revelation 3:21, it says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I am set down with my Father and his throne." He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. We studied about the Laodicean church this morning, and we know that God is not happy with us being lukewarm. He wants us either to be hot or cold. And in Revelation 22, we read, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were a healing of the nation. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and his Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And these shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God, his holy prophet, sent his angel to show his servant the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw the things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down and worshipped before the feet of the angels which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, See, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and thy brother prophet, and of them which keep the saying of this book, worship God." What a day that will be when we shall gather in the kingdom. And Christ is interceding on our behalf today. We are still in such a way that we can ask for forgiveness and he will forgive us. We are in such a place where if we have done something wrong, we can ask for forgiveness and we can be justified. What a blessing. We don't know how long that will continue, but it is in place today, and it is in place for his people. He wants us to repent. He wants us to be taking that grace that is extended to all of us. Are you ready to take that grace? Are you ready to open your arms and your lives to Christ? He loves you. And he wants to redeem you. And he is doing everything that he can to keep you faithful, to keep in sync with his love, because that's how much he loves us. He will do everything in his power except force you. He will never force you. If you decide that you will not be taking the seat next to him in the kingdom, he will let you go. He will cry over you, but he will accept your choice. What a privilege we have that we can choose to honor him, or we can choose not to. You can't get it any better than that. But he really wants you there, and he really wants to have everybody that he have died for accept that grace and to accept his love, because he just loves us that much. So take that with you this morning as we meet here and spend a few moments together. The love of God, it is the greatest thing. And what he has prepared for us in that new heaven is, you can come tonight and see some beauty from Alaska. The mountains, the snow, the ice, and everything. It's just imagine. And that is nothing compared to what God has in store for us. So I want you to take that with you as you go today. God is soon to come, and he is just waiting on us to make that choice and to tell him that we choose life, and we choose life in eternity. And when we do that, he is willing to extend it to us. May God bless you this morning. Our closing hymn is a number 330.
Let's all stand, please.
Father, we have listened to you this morning, and we feel your love, and we just want to reach out and to hold on to it. Because you have loved us long before we were in existence. And you will love us today, and you will love us forevermore. So may we hold on to that love, and may we be ready to go with you when you come to take us home. So bless us as we leave from this place, but may we not leave you, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen.